We're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chof Dalet. We're now getting to the fourth location where David went after fleeing from Shaul, the fourth place in the desert areas. In Perek Chof Beis, after he had left the king of the Plishtim, he acted like a Meshuggah and he was able to escape. It says over there he went to Ma'aras Adullam, the cave of Adullam, and over there he was joined by 400 men, and he took his parents and his family to the king of Moab so that they shouldn't have to wander around with him. And we learned the disastrous outcome of that the king of Moab killed the family and just one escaped, but the king of Moab killed them. Then God Hanavi had told David he shouldn't remain where he was in the fortress, he should go elsewhere. And he went to the second location, Ya'ar Chores, the forest of Chores. I'm just summing it up, this is back in Perek Chof Beis. When he was in this forest, Shaul had turned to his men and he said nobody cares about him and nobody tells him where David is. And then he found out, Doeg Ha'adomi spoke about the fact that David had gone to Nov Ir HaKohanim and he was helped out. And as a result, the city of Nov Ir HaKohanim was wiped out. David was in this second place, Yar Chores, and he heard that the Plishtim were gathering to attack the city of Keilah. And David went to save the city. And he attacked the city, the Plishtim, and he saved the city. But then he heard that Shaul was coming with his men, and the people of Keilah would hand him over. So he went to the third location. And he went to Midbar Zif, the desert of Zif. And in this place, the Zifim found out his location, and they told Shaul where he was. This is in Perek Chof Gimel. And Shaul and his men went, and they were looking for David, and they finally got him around a mountain, around a rock. Half of the men went one way, and halfway the other went the other way, and it seemed like David was caught. And then a malach came and told Shaul that the Plishtim are spreading out over the country, and Shaul turned away from David to go deal with the Plishtim. Now we're up to the fourth place David is going to. Vayal David Misham, David went up from there. Vayesha b'mitzados Ein Gedi, and he resided in the fortresses of Ein Gedi. Over there among the rocks, also he had a secure place to hide out from Shaul. Vayhin was kasher shov Shaul, when Shaul returned, me'achrei Plishtim, from going after the Plishtim. And it's not clear if he fought the Plishtim or not. And as the Malach came, if it was a human messenger, then I assume it's true that the Plishtim were spreading out and attacking the land, and, or maybe Hashem just caused somebody to come with that message. If it's a Malach, then certainly we don't really know that the whole thing is true, because it was just said to Shaul to divert him from David. So Shaul left to go find, from going after the Plishtim. We don't know if there was any... And it certainly doesn't say there was any battle. But Shaul went after the Plishtim, and when he returned, Vayagidu lo lemar, they told Shaul as follows, Hinei David, behold, David is b'midbar Ein Gedi, in the wilderness, in the desert of Ein Gedi. Possibly Shaul would not have chased David anymore. It's hard to know. But at certain points in the story, it almost seems as if the men are egging Shaul on to continue the pursuit, and they're the ones who are encouraging him to get David. And here, Vayagidu lo lemar, they told Shaul, saying, David's in this place. So Shaul acted on that knowledge, and now he's coming after David. Vayikach Shaul shloshes alofim ish. Shaul took 3,000 men, bochur, chosen, mikol Yisrael, from all of Yisrael. Vayelech, and he went levakesh es David va'anoshov, to seek out David and David's men, al pnei tzuri ha'yelim, on the top of the rocks that are frequented by the yelim, by the wild goats. earlier, Shaul had gotten together the whole army when he wanted to go after David. And previously, when David was by Keilah, it said over there that in Parak Chav Gimel, Pasuk Ches, Vayeshama Shaul es Kol Ha'am, Shaul gathered the whole people together for war. At this point, he only took 3,000 men, which was certainly a larger force than David had, but it wasn't such an overwhelming. David had 600 men with him. So Shaul took 3,000 chosen. And the question is, why before did he take the whole army, and now he sufficed with 3,000? So the Mefarshim point out that earlier, Shaul possibly didn't want everyone to know that he was after David. And he certainly didn't want to make a proclamation, let's get together some men to chase David, because David possibly was still popular. Originally, people were singing about him that David was like the national hero. So Shaul didn't want to tell everybody he's after David. So he gathered the whole army, the whole nation for war. And he didn't say clearly who he's attacking. The Plishtim were just gathering against Keilah, and David came, so the Plishtim and David were all in that area. David had defeated the Plishtim, and now Shaul comes afterwards with a big army. But it wasn't clear, is he after the Plishtim or is he after David? And of course, Shaul's intention was to get David. But first he mobilized the whole army for war. Now he had the whole army with him. He had just gone after the Plishtim, he's returning with his whole army. He doesn't need the whole army to get David. So now he takes 3,000 men, Shloshes Alafim Ish Bachur, and he goes to seek David. When David said in Baruchi Nafshi, Harim HaGavoyim LaYe'elim, the high mountains for the Ye'elim, for the mountain goats, this is the area that David was around. Shaul went looking for him, Al-Panei Tziri HaYe'elim, in these places that are high up, where people don't go. It's you're walking along the cliffs over there. But that's where Shaul looked for David, because that would be a likely hideout. But we'll see in a moment. David actually chose a different place. Vayavo, Shaul came, El Gidros Hatzon, to the place where they have corrals of sheep. Al Haderech, by the road. Over there, he was sure David wouldn't be there, because David's not going to hide out with a few hundred men in an area where you have a lot of sheep, and where you have the road. He's going to go to some place where nobody goes. But this is actually where David went. We're using reverse psychology that Shaul would never suspect that he would be there. So he came to the Gidros Hatzon al Haderech by the road, Visham Ma'ara, and over there was a cave. Vayavo Shaul l'hasech es raglav. And Shaul came to relieve himself. You should know, again, in Lashon HaKodesh, there are no words that are even the slightest off-color term, whatever. There's nothing like it. It's Lashon Nekiyah. It's the cleanest, purest talk. But just in order for us to understand it, I'll teach the words. But you should know, we'll see in a moment what the word Lahasech means. Some say lahasek comes from a word like nisuch hamayim, nisuch hayayim. Nisuch means to pour something. Lahasek esraglov, to pour something with his feet. And you can use your imagination, it means he needed to relieve himself. But again, the Lashon and the Lashon HaKodesh, it's a very vague term. Another possibility, lahasek could mean from the word schach, lahasek, to shelter. Lahasek esraglov, to shelter his feet. And it's referring to the fact that he already had to sit down. It was for gedolim, a bowel movement. And for that, so he had to sit down, he had to cover his feet, because it's showing you Shaul's tzniyus. That he was careful that it wasn't visible, and that he covered himself. And Chazal point out, Vayavu el Gidrois Hatzon, he came to these corrals, these pens of sheep. Meaning there was more than one. That he was with all his men out in the open, and then he went into like one of these corrals, and then from there he went to the second one, El Gidrois Tzoin. There's more than one grouping of the sheep. In other words, he was really far recessed from the crowd. He went far away. This is a Gemara in Brochus on Daf Samach Beis. And he went, and there was a cave, and there was a cave within a cave. And I saw the Mefarshim discuss, how did the Gemara see in the Pasuk there was a cave within a cave? It's only see Vishamara, there was a cave. Where do you see two caves? And the Ben Yehoyada explains, it's beautiful the way they notice in the Pasuk, that there's an extra phrase in the Pasuk. It should have said, Vayovo, he came to the Gidros Hatzon, by the road, and there was a cave, Lahosech Esraglov. The words Vayovo Shol is repeated. It says two times, he came and he came. To say that he came within and he came, there's a second cave. So he came within where there was one corral, he went to the inner corral, and then there was a cave, and it was obviously a tremendously large cave, and within the cave there was another cave, and we'll see in a moment, David is there with his men. I don't know if that means there's a few hundred men there. But they had, so it was a very large cave. But you see, Shaul's sneeze that he was in a place where he wouldn't imagine anybody would be anywhere close to there. And yet, even though he was in such a private area, it was Lahosech Esraglov. He was very tsonua, and he covered himself. And we'll see in a moment how Chazal say that saved his life. But for David Vanoshov, David and his men, Biyarkasei HaMa'ara Yoshvim. They were sitting in the ends of the Ma'ara, much further in. There were caves, you know, the caves and tunnels in Eretz Yisrael. We'll learn in Malachim, it discusses how Tzidkiyo fled at the time of the Churban. And there was a cave that went all the way to Yericho. Went for like miles underground. It's hard to envision, but it's a tremendously long underground tunnel. But here there was a cave within a cave. I don't think it was that large, but it was large enough to hold a few hundred men in a cave within a cave. In other words, it was a deep cave. And yet, of course, David and his men were aware of the fact that Shaul had entered. Vayomru Anshei David Elov. The men of David said to him, Hine Hayom, behold, today is the day, Asher Omar Hashem Elecha, that Hashem told you, Hine Anochi Nosei Neso Yivcha Biyadecha, I'm going to give your enemy into your hand. Now, we haven't learned anywhere that Hashem told him, clearly, I'm going to give your enemy into your hand. And some Mefarshim say, could be when God had told David, we mentioned earlier, in one of the earlier... the first place he was, by Ma'aras Adulam, the cave of Adulam, God had told him, don't stay here, leave. Could be at that point God told him, don't stay here, leave, but don't worry, Hashem will be with you and your enemy will be given over into your hand and you'll be safe. Or it could be the very fact that David was anointed as the king. So obviously Hashem had promised him and made a shvuah, a bris with him, that he will be the Melech Yisrael. And therefore, he knew that his enemy would obviously be given over into his hand. And this is what his men said to him. Vasisalo, and you should do to him kasher yitav beinecha, like whatever is good in your eyes. Do whatever you want to him. His men were weary and exhausted. They had been moving from one place to another. They were on the run. They knew if Shaul caught them, they'd probably be killed. They also realized that Shaul had a din of a rodef. The Gemara says, if a person, chas v'shalom, if there's ever a break-in, im b'machteres yimotze haganov, if a guy breaks into the house to steal, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, ein lo domin, if the homeowner kills the intruder, it's not considered bloodshed. He has a right to kill him. And the Gemara explains the logic as follows. If somebody breaks into a house, he knows that ein adam maimid atzma al mamoinai. A person is, the human nature is not to just let his money go, to stand by idly. Even though they'll all tell you, chas v'shalom, if such a thing, you know, if there's a mugger, just give him your wallet, don't put up a fight. But we all know many times, there's always stories about the guy, you know, people put up a fight. It used to always bother me, the Gemara says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, you have to love Hashem with all your heart, v'chol nafshcha, with your whole life, v'chol modecha, and all your money. And the Gemara says, for some people, the life is the most precious thing they have, and you have to be willing to give it up for Hashem. And for some people, it's the money. And he used to always bother me. How do you have people who the money is more precious than the life? But, you know, if a person stops anything, so a lot of times you have that. You have a lot of people who didn't flee, you know, didn't flee Germany or didn't flee dangerous places because how could they leave the house and the possessions, even though everybody told them it's a mamish sakana. It's human nature. It's not so far-fetched to say that a person's, for some people, the money, they just can't give it up. Even though logically, as Eov said, really a person would give everything he has to save his life. But that's human nature. The person's going to put up a fight. So a person who's breaking into a house knows that the owner might stand up and put up a fight, and therefore he comes in knowing, be prepared for a fight. And if necessary, he would kill the homeowner. Therefore, whenever there's an intruder, there's a heter to kill the intruder. That's the din of Imba Machteris Yimotzi Aganav. And we learn out from there that if there's a rodef, if one person is pursuing another one's life, the nirduf, the one being pursued, or anyone else can kill the rodef, can kill the one pursuing him. The men said to David, Shaul is without a question a rodef. Shaul is after your life. There's no question about it. He wiped out the whole city of Novi Arakonim because somebody helped you out. There's no question he's after your life. And here he's given over into your hand. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim discuss at length what the heter was, what the heter is for David not to kill Shaul. Or in a case like this, when there's a rodef, is it allowed for somebody to say he's not going to save his life? Or is the chayr, there's a chiyuv. This is the din of lo samar al dam reyecha. You can't stand by when somebody is going to be killed unjustly. And the answer basically seems to be, one of the answers is that David really felt that as in danger as he was, he knew that he was going to be king and he had bitachon, and he knew that he really didn't have, on one hand he kept running from Shaul, he didn't rely on his bitachon to do nothing, he was doing whatever effort he could to save his life. On the other hand, he really knew that Hashem would see to it that he would be king. He didn't feel that Shaul had that din rodef to kill Shaul. Especially Shaul was the Mashiach Hashem. He was the anointed one by the Navi. We'll see. Right? So David didn't act on this knowledge. David, we've mentioned previously, Shaul himself felt that David was a Morid B'Malchus and he had other justifications. But David looked at Shaul as Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. And his life is not under the danger that to actually go and kill Shaul, and therefore he didn't do that. And here is another challenge that people have through life, and it's what David's men are telling him. They say to him, this is the day Asher Omar Hashem Eilecha, that Hashem told you, I'm going to give your enemy in your hand. Meaning, it's almost as if it's Pasher, do you see the Siyata Dishmaya? Can you imagine that? If Hashem just wanted to save David's life, David could have been running around, and Shaul wouldn't find him. It's a clear message. You're in the same cave, and Shaul went by himself because of his tznius. There was no men nearby. As they were outside the caves and the corrals, but right here, there was nobody there with Shaul. He's mamish given over into your hand. It's a clear message. Min Hashemayim. But David understood, it's not a message to kill Shaul, it's a nisayon. This is a test. What would Hashem really want me to do? But it's something that we go through a lot, you know, in life. Something happens, the person says, oh, you see, it's Bashert, you see, this is mamish what Hashem wants. And sometimes it could be a test. So David's men had all of these arguments, that you should do the show like you see fit. David got up, and he cut off the corner of the robe asher l'shol that was Shol's balot. Secretly, stealthily, he crawled up to Shol, without Shol hearing, and he cut off the corner of the garment. I mean, that's what he did. Vayhi achrei chein. And Rashi learns that this pasuk has actually happened later, but since we're talking about cutting off the corner of the garment, the Navi just puts in this pasuk, Vayhi achrei chein. It was afterwards, Vayach leiv David oso. The heart of David struck him. His conscience bothered him. Al asher koras, because he cut off as konof asher l'shol, the corner of Shol's garment. Even though he was under pressure to kill Shol, and what he did, we'll see, he did with an intention of showing Shol how he had control of Shol, and he could have killed him, and he's how much he cares for Shol. He did it for a good reason. And yet somehow it bothered David. Vayach leiv David also, that this was not the right thing. He shouldn't have cut off that konof asher l'shol. And there's different reasons. One reason given in Chazal is he cut off the corner of the garment. The garment obviously had tzitzis. It was a four-cornered garment that Shol was wearing. By cutting off that corner, Shol no longer has the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, of course, he's not doing it. It's not like he's even mechuyev in tzitzis. Now it's a three-cornered garment. A three-cornered garment doesn't need tzitzis. But that opportunity of wearing a garment of tzitzis, he took away from Shol, and that bothered him. Perhaps he should have cut the garment in a different way. He could have cut it in a way that he could have conveyed the message to Shol without canceling the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now, I assume when he cut it off, the corner is the easiest thing to cut. It's at the end of the garment. But even so, it bothered him that he cut off the kanaf. Chazal also say, David felt avera gereris avera. One thing leads to another. When you're dealing with the king of Klal Yisrael, when you're dealing with the Mashiach Hashem, you can't put your hand on him. Whether it's to cut, what's the difference whether you're cutting off his garment or you're cutting off his head? The point is you're showing that there's no fear of the monarchy anymore. That he's a regular person, and if you feel he wrongs you, you can strike back and you can do something what you feel is fit. And there's got to be a certain awe for the Malchus. Surprisingly, that Barbanel said it was almost as if David had in mind his own future. He knew that he was going to be the king, and there are certain things that David did to strengthen the Malchus, knowing that he was going to be king, and this is one of them. He cut off the garment of Shol, and then it bothered him. By a king, you're not allowed to do anything. And we'll see later on, Shol killed himself in the battle with the Plishtim, but then somebody else finished it off, Ben Ish Ger Amaleki. That person who finished off the life of Shol, who did the final, killed him, David had him killed. And later on, Ishbosheth, the son of Shaul, was assassinated. And David had those people killed. In other words, anybody who started up with the Malchus, David saw it as his role to protect the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, and therefore it could be that's why it bothered him that he had cut off the konof asher l'shol. But again, you have the dichotomy, the fact that David, on one hand, is such a strong leader, and so concerned about the Malchus, and at the other hand, when he did something that was slightly wrong, his conscience bothered him. It hit him. The Lashon Vayach Leiv David is as like heart is hitting him. Why did you do such a thing? Even though all of his men told him that he's supposed to do much more and he should have killed Shaul. Vayomer la Noshav. Again, the fact that his conscience bothered him about the corner of the garment, that could have been later on, Rashi learns. But right now his men had told him, get up and kill Shol. So he cut off the corner of the garment, and now he has to respond to his men, what's going on? Why didn't he do more? Vayomer la Noshav. So David said to his men, Cholilo Limei Hashem. It would be mundane, such a lowly thing for me to do such a thing, me Hashem, from Hashem. Meaning it would be a chil Hashem. Im eses hadover hazel adoni. If I would do this thing to my master, he's my king. L'mashiach Hashem, and he's the one who's anointed by Hashem. Shmuel anointed Shol to be the king. L'shloach yodi bo. that I should send my hand against him? Ki Mashiach Hashem hu, because he is the anointed one of Hashem. In other words, first of all, he's my master, and he's the Mashiach Hashem. And don't argue that you, David, are also the Mashiach Hashem. You'll say, you know, it's certain things, when a person gets to a madrega where you also have that chashivas, you don't have to honor the second one. There's a story with Rav Shalom Shvadron. When he reached his 70th birthday, he called up one of his chaverim, and it was his 70th birthday, and he was crying, and he was very upset. And one of his chaverim said to me, well, you know, he explained, you know why I'm so upset? He said, before, when I was younger, and there was a 70-year-old man, I could stand up for him and be makayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of mipnei seva takum. It's a mitzvah to stand up for an elderly person. But now that I'm 70, the poskim say if somebody's 70, he doesn't have to stand up for somebody else 70. So I lose out on that mitzvah. So he was upset that he had reached that birthday and he lost out on that mitzvah. It could be what David is saying is, he's my master and he's the Mashiach Hashem. But the men are arguing, true, he's Mashiach Hashem. But you, David, are also Mashiach Hashem. And if you're the Mashiach Hashem, so the fact, whatever. So Shaul doesn't have that importance anymore. Perhaps Shaul's already sort of lost the Malchus. Knows you're the king, you're the new one, and you don't have to worry about Shaul. So David reiterated, it's my master, the Mashiach Hashem. How can I send my hand against him? Ki Mashiach Hashem hu. He is the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed one from Hashem. Meaning he's going to remain that way till the end of his life. I can be the Mashiach Hashem. He's also the Mashiach Hashem. But I can't touch him. I can't hurt him. Vayashasa David es anoshov badvori. David vayashasa could mean to like rip apart. He ripped apart his men by the Vorim verbally. In other words, they were united in their opinion that David should kill Shaul. David went and he told them in the harshest words to break up the opposition. And he didn't allow them to rise up against Shaul. It wasn't just that they felt David should kill Shaul. If David doesn't want to do it, they would have done it. Now David has to defend Shaul and tell everybody, the hundreds of men who've been wandering around with him for at least days or weeks and months, all those people, just stay here and you'll continue a life of wandering, but we're not doing anything to Shaul. Shaul came to Amora. Shaul got up from the cave and he went on the road. At this point he left the cave. He didn't know that, he wasn't aware of all that was transpiring in the inner recesses of that cave. By Yeshasa, the Targum says, Upayes, that he appeased them. In other words, could be that's the way, sometimes I guess you can rip them apart by giving them a harsh tongue lashing, and sometimes you can break up the opposition with a word of pius. But whether he appeased them or how he accomplished this, he broke up the opposition, and Shaul was able to leave the cave. Vayokum David achrichein. David got up afterwards. Vayetze mehamor, and he left the cave. Vayikra achre Shaul, and he called after Shaul, Lamor, saying, Adoni hamelech, my master the king. Not only did he save Shaul's life, but you see the way he speaks to Shaul, the way he's going to bow down before Shaul. He treats and he feels that Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. And he's anointed, and his day will come. But as long as Shaul is alive, David treats him with the utmost kavod and deference. Adoni HaMelech, my master the king. Vayabit Shaul Achrov. Shaul turned back of him. Vayiko David Apayim. And David had done kida, had fallen in his face, arza to the ground, vayishtochu, and he prostrated himself. He totally bowed down flat on the ground as a total submission to Shaul. And this is all done at a distance. Vayomer David l'Shaul. David said to Shaul, Lama sishmas divrei Adam leimor. Why do you listen to the words of an Adam, of a person, saying, Hine David mevakesh ro'asecha, that David is seeking your evil. Or it's David's bitterness is through those who are encouraging Shaul. Shaul, you know, sometimes you can have such a thing. You know, the tzaddik is doing everything l'shem shamayim, but there are other people who have their own agendas, and they're feeding him wrong information, and they're trying to fuel the machlokas. David's attention is, why are you listening to that divrei adam who's saying, hinei David mevakesh ro'asecha, that David is seeking your evil, David's against you. Hine hayom hazeh, behold today, ro'ei necha, your eyes saw, es asher nesoncha Hashem hayom, that Hashem gave you over today, biyodi, in my hands, ba'ma'or in the cave. In other words, don't think that that David saved Shaul because he wasn't able to strike him. But Shaul was right in his hands, ba'ma'or in the cave. V'omar laharogcha, and he said to kill you. The simple meaning is somebody, you know, there was such an opinion. V'omar laharogcha, there was an opinion to kill Shaul. V'atochas alecha, but they had compassion. We had compassion on you. V'omar, and I said lo eshlach yodi badoni, I won't send out my hand against my master. Ki Mashiach Hashem hu, because he's the anointed one from Hashem. This phrase is a difficult one. Va'omar laharogcha v'atochas alecha. It seems on the simple pshat, it would have been a lot easier to write va'omar laharogcha, somebody said that opinion. Perhaps even David could say, I had such a thought. Va'omarti laharogcha, I had such an opinion to kill you. But he didn't want to say va'omarti, because Shaul thought such terrible things about David. He didn't want to mention to Shaul that, you should know, I also had a havamina of killing you. But it seems it should have said Va'amar, or like who said it? Va'amar, or Va'amarti lahargecha. And then it should say V'chasti alecha, I had compassion on you. The term V'atochas alecha is a difficult expression to explain. It could be you don't want to say v'chasti, because you don't want to like take all the credit, like you should know you owe me one and whatever, I had compassion on you. But no, v'tochas alecha, whoever it was, he had compassion on you, and therefore I said let's not do anything to show. For a moment of diktuk, but v'tochas could either be what's called to a zocher nochach. Meaning, if you're speaking directly to a man, you could say, Vatochos, you had compassion. Even though, you know, the tough at the beginning is usually found by a word for a nekeva, for a female. But Vatochos alecha could mean, you had compassion. Which we'll see in a moment, it would mean that he's telling Shaul, you did something that saved your life. Vatochos alecha, you had compassion on yourself. Which we'll see in a moment, how the way Shaul conducted himself with sneeze is like, you had compassion on yourself. You saved your life. Batochas could also mean in a third party, what's called a nistar for nekeva. If you want to say a third person did something, so if it's a man, you would say vayochas. If it's a nekeva, you say vatochas. By the way, Rashi basically discusses, it's one of those Rashis people skip because it's a difficult diktuk Rashi. But in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov said, "Besodom al tovo nafshi, bi kaholom al teichad kivodi," Rashi discusses al teichad, this concept here. But vatochas alecha could mean a third party. Somebody else, vatochas alecha, but it would have to be Lashon Nekeva. It'd have to be for a Nekeva, like she had compassion. Just one more step to this puzzle. I know it's a difficult idea. But if it's going on Yodi, in other words, you were given over Yodi in my hand, it could mean in my hand had compassion. My hand was going to strike you, and my hand had compassion. And hand is Lashon Nekeva. Like you say, Yod Chazoka. You don't say Yod Chazok. Say Yod Chazokah. Yod is Lashon Nekeva. Or it can mean Vatochas, my soul had compassion on you, or my eyes had compassion on you. And that would be the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Today you were given over into my hands. Va'amar laharogcha, there was an opinion that said to kill Shol, Vatochas, Alecha, but my soul or my hand had compassion on you, and I said, let's not strike the Mashiach Hashem. The Gemara, though, says in Brochus, on Daf Samach Beis, Va'amar laharogcha, you know who said to kill Shol? Hashem said. Because if you listen to what it says in the Torah, it would seem that Shol was Chayiv Misa. I had a heter from the Torah. Va'amar laharogcha, Hashem said you could be killed about Shol. Va'tochas alecha, and yet I had compassion on you. Va'tochas, and we'll see why in a moment. What he was saying is the Torah says, what we mentioned before about a rodef, that if somebody is pursuing another one, or somebody did a machteris and broke into a house, he could be killed. But va'tochas alecha, the fact that I saw your tznius, I saw your modesty, that caused me to have compassion. Now the question is, what does the tznius have to do with it? But the Gemara makes that point. It stresses, first of all, the tznius of Shol, that he covered himself, and therefore, v'tochas alecha, that tznius, that caused me to have compassion on you. The simple meaning would be, according to this, that there could be different points when David would kill Shol, but to kill him when he exhibited such a midah toiva, that he bedafka went far away from his men. He went with one corral within another, and one cave within another, and he covered himself, and he showed such sneus, then to take that against him, and because he wasn't with his men to kill him, that would be wrong. So the sneus, that's what saved his life. But I saw a number of other explanations. The Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara explains that what David had told his men was, he's going to cut off the corner of the garment. And he's going to see, you know, it's not be hasty with it, cut off the garment, corner of the garment, and see how he feels about it. Does it strike him that this is a mitzvah, that to do more to Shol is necessary, or is that too extreme? He shouldn't be rash, even though it was obviously a short time to act. But I'm going to cut off the corner of the garment and I'll see exactly how I feel. How do I feel I should do more or not? But even if he plans to wait, this only works if Shol doesn't move. Because if David crawls up to Shol and starts cutting the corner of the garment, and he gives by accident a little tug when he's tearing the fabric, and he diverts and he catches Shol's attention, and Shol turns around, as soon as Shol sees David, Shol will kill David. And therefore David would have to kill Shol, and that would be the end of the whole thing. So he's going to try he's going to try to cut off the corner of the garment, but he knows that when he goes towards Shol, you don't know what the outcome's going to be. Now, if Shol would have taken off the garment, let's say, and put it on his lap or something like that, or held it in his hand, something like that, David, he probably would have felt David cutting the garment. But the way he lowered it, l'hasech esrag, he lowered it toward his feet, a lot of it was lying on the ground. It was lowered down, and it was on the ground. So he was able to cut the corner of the garment carefully, you know, but since it was on the ground, there was no tugging and no pulling, and Shol didn't feel a thing. So he said, you should know that they said to kill you, Shol. And I figured I was going to do this thing of cutting off the corner of the garment. But the fact you were such a tsanua, and you had the garment positioned in the way that it was, I was able to cut off the garment, and that saved your life. Because if it would have been felt and you would have turned, I wouldn't have been able to leave it with just a piece of garment. And another pshat, the Gemara says, we're getting in already, Purim's not far away. The Gemara says, the tznius that Rachel had, that she told over the simonim to her sister Leah, that she wouldn't be embarrassed when Leah was given to Yaakov, she didn't want to cause this tremendous tumult and commotion. this tznius of Rachel caused her to have a descendant, Shaul, who was a tzanua. Because when Shaul was told that he would be king, Vestavar HaMelucha lo higid, when he later on met his uncle, he didn't tell anybody that he was king. Shaul also had that ability to keep things quiet. Rachel wanted to make things quiet, that it shouldn't become a big tumult, that in the middle of the party at the night, everyone should find out what's going on. And Binyamin and Shaul also kept things quiet and didn't tell people he was going to be king. He had become king. And because Shaul was a tzanua, he had a descendant, Esther, who is Ein Esther Magedis Molatatov Es Amo, who also was able to keep quiet and didn't tell people what nation she was from. That trait of tznius. What David said to Shaul was, as soon as you were tzanua in that cave, I thought to myself, you know, Shaul has that tremendous tznius. And I thought to myself, the tznius is not just the action of when he's relieving himself. The tznius was also his talk. He didn't tell people that he was the king. And that tznius is a trait that comes from Rachel. And if not for the tznius of Rachel, Yaakov wouldn't have married Leah. And we wouldn't be here today. Because David comes from Shevet Yehuda, who comes from Leah. So it's a whole chain of events. So he catches Shaul in the cave and he says, as soon as I saw that tznius, I thought to myself, wow, we owe our whole existence of Klal Yisrael, we owe everything to that tznius that your great-great-great-grandmother, Rachel, had. And therefore, Vatochos Alech, I had compassion. And I think the Yavetz on the Gemara has one further thought also along those lines. What David knew with Ruach HaKodesh, he said, I saw your tznius, Vatochos Alech, and I had compassion. Because I knew that the tznius of Shaul would cause there to be a descendant who would somehow save Klal Yisrael with tznius. As we just mentioned, the tznius of Shaul caused him to have a descendant, Esther, which would bring about the nes of Purim. So Vatochos Alecha. So I had compassion, and I didn't do anything. Va'omar, and I said, Lo Eshlach Yodi Badoni, I'm not going to send out my hand against my master, Ki Mashiach Hashem Hu. Va'ovi Re'ei, and my father see, Gam Re'ei, and see further, as Knaf Mi'ilcha B'yodi, the corner of your garment in my hand, take a look what I'm holding. And Chazal learned out from here, it wasn't his father, it was his father-in-law. David had married Shaul's daughter Michal. B'chayiv Adam v'kavod chamav. A person has to have kavod for his father-in-law, and therefore he addressed his father-in-law as V'avi Re'ei. My father see, Gam Re'ei, and see as Knaf Mi'ilcha B'yodi. And another pshat it brings down is what we mentioned earlier about the machteris, about the break-in with the house. The Gemara has another halacha. If for some reason a father breaks into his son's house, maybe he's desperate for food, maybe he's a kleptomaniac, I don't know what, but the father's breaking into his son's house, and the son realizes it, there's no head to kill his father. Why? Because the whole logic is a person puts up a fight for his money. If the son would put up a fight for his money, it's known that a father wouldn't chas v'shalom kill his son. As he might be, for some reason, he's breaking into the house, but he won't chas v'shalom kill his son. That he won't do. So the son knows that his life is safe. So of course there's no heter to kill the one who's coming by machteris. According to this, could be David is telling Shaul, V'avi Re'ei, see, I treat you like a father. You're chasing after me, yet I'm convinced that, bottom line, you won't actually kill David. And as I treat you like I would a father, that there's no heter to kill a father, because one's life is not in danger from such an opponent. But see the corner of the garment that's in my hand. Ki b'chorsi es knaf mi'ilcha. When I cut off the corner of your garment, v'lo haragtich, and I didn't kill you, die, you should know, Re'ei, and see, ki ein biyodi ra. There's no evil in my hand. V'fesha, or any guilt, or any sin. V'lo chatosi loch, I didn't even do a chatos, which is a more trivial sin. There's nothing, I'm not against you at all. Not with a major offense, not with a minor offense. and you were in my hand. Ki'ein biyodi, this is in my hand, meaning I had you. And yet you see, even though you're chasing after me and I had you, I didn't do anything. Va'ata and you are the opposite. You're tzodes nafshi, you're trapping my life, lakachta, to take away my life. I didn't do anything to you. And you show the other way around. In other words, I can point to many incidents that you were out to kill me. And I had you in my hand, and I did nothing. You, on the other hand, don't have any place where you saw that I was against you. And you didn't have me, and yet you're determined to get me somehow. Hashem should judge between me and you. Unekamani Hashem mimeka, and Hashem should take the revenge, my revenge, mimeka from you. V'yodi lo siyabach, but my hand should not be against you. Nakama, revenge is a whole discussion, but in short. Throughout Tehillim and throughout here you see again, it's not Shaul, David's not oblivious to his suffering. In other words, he knows he's suffering and he knows what is causing the suffering, and yet you find time and again David leaves it, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deal with it. In other words, it would be wrong for me to hurt or even cut off the corner of the garment that's of the Mashiach Hashem. It's wrong for me to do anything to Shaul. But whatever blame Shaul has in these episodes, Hashem should take care of. And whatever revenge, and there's, the Gemara says, Gedola Nakama Shenitna Bein Shtei Osios. The word Nakama you find sandwiched in between the names of Hashem. Kael, Nakamos, Hashem. Nakama's right in the middle. Because the truth is, Nakama is a great thing, not for one person to do to another. We're not allowed to do Nakama. But there is a greatness in seeing the Kavod Shemayim when a Rosha gets his payment on this world. Or somebody who does an Aveira on this world, certainly if he does it Berishis and he does it Bemezid, there should be a Nakama from Hashem. People should see that, yet it's not just Lais Din V'Lais Dayan, like people seem to get away with it. In other words, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem when we see that that the Rishoyim get their punishment. But that's all Hashem's Cheshbin. Yishpar Hashem bein you v'necha. Hashem should judge between me and you, and Hashem should decide. Unakamani Hashem imeka, and Hashem should take my revenge from you. And they also point out mimeka, the revenge would come from Shaul himself, because the one who killed Shaul in the end was Shaul, which we'll learn about later. The revenge against Shaul came mimeka from you, from Shaul himself. But my hand shouldn't be against you. Kashir Yomar Mishal HaKadmoni, like the earlier parable, the other earlier proverb, the Mushal said, Mi Rishayim Yetzei Resha, from the Rishayim come out wickedness. The Meforshim point out, you see that by Kayin and Hevel. Kayin killed Hevel. At the very beginning, Mushal HaKadmoni, this is one of the earliest stories in the Torah. And how was he killed? Later on he had a descendant, Lemech, who was all Russia, and Lemech, the descendant, killed his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Kayin. May Rishoyim Yetzei Resha, the punishment will come out through the Rishoyim. V'yori lo siyabach, but my hand shouldn't be against you. Or it's first he said in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem should do the judgment, and I don't want to be involved. But even if Hashem decides that a person should punish Shaul, again, v'yodi lo siyabach, I don't want to be the one. May Rishoyim Yetzei Resha, from the Rishoyim will come out wickedness, and I don't want to be the one. Chazal learn out, Mishal HaKadmoni is the Moshal, the proverb of the Kadmoni, the one who preceded the world, meaning Hashem. Hashem preceded the world, and Hashem has his Moshal written down in the Torah. And you find such an Indian in the Torah. It says, Vasher lo tzadon, Parshas Mishpatim. If one man wasn't ambushing in another, but Vo'elokim ino liyodo, but Hashem caused him to kill a fellow Jew, there's a din of Ari Miklat. If it wasn't a purposeful ambush, just one killed another, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an Ari Miklat. But the word is Vo'elokim ino liyodo. that sometimes Hashem can cause it to happen that somebody killed another. And the Gemara has the story that there are two people. One guy killed on purpose, but there's no witnesses, no Edom. So nothing can be done to him. The second guy killed Bishogeg. He was careless, and he killed somebody else. It's his fault, but it's not he didn't do it purposely. It's not a total accident. Bishogeg. So Hashem caused that they both come to the same place. And the guy who killed on purpose Bemezid is sitting at the bottom of a ladder. And the person who killed Bishogeg is coming down the ladder, and a rung breaks, and he falls down, and he lands on the other guy and kills him. So the guy at the foot of the ladder deserved to be killed, so he was killed. And the person who the last time around got away without a punishment, now Hashem caused, Elokim in Eliyadu, Hashem caused him to kill the other one. That's the idea of Meirishoyim Yetzei Resha. That, as we say, Megalglin Zechus Ayidei Zakai V'chayiv Ayidei Chayiv. In other words, it's taken as a lesson. That's, in other words, if somebody, Chas V'Shalom, is caught in a case, that bad came out because of him. That's Meirishoyim Yetzei Resha. Yeah, so it also needs a tshuva. V'yori lo siyabach, but my hand shouldn't be against Shaul. Acharei mi yotza melech Yisrael. After whom did the king of Klal Yisrael go out? Who are you going after? Acharei mi atarodef. Who are you chasing after? Acharei kelev meis. After a dead dog. Acharei paro shechot. After one little flea. Nothing. Could be he's telling him, Acharei mi yotza melech Yisrael. When you left to go after me, who are you going after? You were going after a kelev, somebody who's like a dog. You know, all the words in Lashon HaKodesh have the word means the item. For instance, dog, is we call a certain animal a dog. There's no reason why you can call him a dog. If we all got together and we decided this animal we should call a hat, you can call him a hat. There's no reason why he should be called a dog. This we made up, we'll call him a dog. In Lashon HaKodesh, it's not that way. If a dog is called Kelev, it means Kelev is the letters, Kilev, like a heart. Everybody knows a man's best friend. A dog is a man's best friend. So a dog is called a Kelev, Kilev. He's like your heart. He's the closest creature to man. You know, people raise sheep because at least they get the wool. People raise cows because they have milk. Dogs, the main purpose is people want a dog for friendship. Even Adam, a person is called Adam. It's related to the word Adama. He comes from the dirt, from the ground. His body, his goof, comes from the dirt. It also comes from the word Adam is Edame. I should be similar, Adame la Elyon. That a person has an neshama that says he wants to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to develop those traits, Mahu Chanun, Mahu Rachum. He wants to be like Hashem. But the words mean the item. But what he's telling him is, when you first went after me, who are you chasing? Somebody who's like a kelev, like a dog. I'm loyal to you. I'm loyal to you like a dog. But mace, like a dead dog who can't act on the way he would. You drive me away from you, and you endanger me, and I'm running away from you. So I feel to you with the loyalty of a kelev. But in reality, it's a kelev mace. Because I'm dead, and I was like, I can't put my feelings into action because I'm distanced from you. And Achrei Mi'at Tarodef, right now, who are you chasing after? Right now, I'm like a paro shechet, I'm like a flea. A flea goes jumping from one place to another, one place on the table to another, the food. He's jumping. And I'm jumping from this hideout to that runaway, to this cave, and to that desert. Like a paro shechad. Shaul was also jealous of David because of two things. First of all, his reputation, the name of David, was so famous that bothered Shaul. So first of all, David says to him, you're worried about my reputation and my name. Tov shem yishem en tov. You know, a name is like perfume, is like good oil, that it just wafts across the room and a person has a reputation and it spreads. But he, you should know, I'm like a kelev mace. There's nothing that's more, it smells, it stinks like a dead dog. Don't worry about my reputation. It's not a threat to you. It's as meaningless as the fragrance of a dead dog. You know, it stinks. Don't worry about the name at all. And if you're worried about the singing that David kills his tens of thousands, and you're worried about my strength, now I'm the upcoming leader. I'm like a paro shechod. The way I am right now, running around, I'm like a flea. Oh, who are you chasing after? For Hay Hashem l'dayon, Hashem shall be the judge, v'shofat b'niyu v'necha. Or he should receive the arguments like a judge, and then give the decision. V'shofat and judge b'niyu v'necha, between me and you. V'yera, he should see. And sometimes Hashem sees, and for whatever reason it can wait, and it takes a long time. But Hashem should see v'yoreves rivi. And he should take up my grievance, he should fight my quarrel. And he should vindicate me and show that I'm innocent, I'm not against you. David, it was when David finished to speak these words, El Shol to Shol. The whole time David's making his speech, nobody shoots any arrows, nobody comes chasing after him, nobody drowns him out, everyone's listening. When he finishes these words to Shol, Vayomer Shol, Shol says, Hakol Chazeh, is that your voice, Bini David, my son David? Vayisa Shol Kolos, Shol raised his voice, Vayefkin, he cried. And Chazal say it was a crying not only when he realized what he was doing to David, but he wiped out the city of Nov because he suspected David. And he realized now that he's wrong. And again, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever Cheshbon is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be like this. And again, the Bali Lashon Hara are always going to be encouraging Shol to keep up the fight, but once in a while it's like the light breaks through the clouds and all of a sudden Shol realizes, what am I doing? And he raises his voice and he cries, Bini David, my son. Vayomer el David, and he said to David, Tzadik atam imeni, you're more righteous than I am. And some note that it could say, Tzadik atam, you're a tzadik, mimeni, from me. That sometimes a person has potential, and it takes the right thing to bring it out. And David had tremendous, tremendous potential. But it could be, Shaul's alluding to the fact that you should know, David, you've become very, very great, mimeni, because of what I put you through. In other words, the fact that David was able to deal with being pursued by Shaul gave David another level of greatness. But you're more righteous than I am. Ki ata gemaltani hatova. You were goimel me with good. Vani gemalticha hara'ah. And I treated you with bad. And the word gomel is usually when a person does another action, the Malbim learns, because of a tremendous love or because of a tremendous hatred, but it's his emotions bring him to do the action. Ata gemaltani hatova means you did good for me with a feeling of gomel. Your love for me caused you to do everything you do for me. He fought against the Plishtim, he defeated Goliath, he did whatever he could do to serve Shaul. Vani gemalticha hara, and I did evil to you because of a hatred. Va'ata he got it to Hayom, but you've told it over to others today. Esa shiro sisa iti tova, what the good that you've done for me. What you have done, you've told others. And we'll see, that's a tremendous zechus. When a person does a mitzvah, so you have to know when it should be kept private and when it should be shared with others. But sometimes you share it with others and it inspires others to do good and you get the credit. And you told over Esa Sher Sisa Iti Tova the good you did with me. Esa Sher Sigrani Hashem Biyorcha, Hashem gave me over into your hands. V'lo Haraktoni, you didn't kill me. V'chiyim Se'ishas Oivoi. When you ever have such a thing, a person finds his enemy, V'shilcho B'derech Tova, and he sends him off on the good road. You had me and you sent me off. That's a tremendous, tremendous zechus. That people can see that everything's up to Hashem, and when they can to do that and let an enemy go free. V'Hashem yishalemcha tova. Hashem should pay you back with good. Tachas hayom hazeh, in place of what you've done today, asher asisa li, what you did for me. V'ata now hine yodati, I know, ki moloch timloch, you will rule. V'koma b'yodcha mamleches Yisrael, and it'll be established in your hand, the malchus of Klal Yisrael. Moloch, you'll rule, timloch, and you'll rule further. He had the qualities of a melech, who's moishel berucho miloche de'ir, somebody who controls himself and has that self-control not to kill Shaul. You're a king, and the kingdom will last. V'ata now yishovel li b'Hashem, I want you to swear to me with Hashem, im tachriz azari acharoi, that you won't wipe out my children, v'im tashmi deshmi mi beisovi, or wipe out my name from my father's house. V'yishova David l'shol, David swore to Shaul, v'yilech Shaul ol beiso, and Shaul went back to his house. The David v'anoshov olu al ha-metzuda, David and his men went up to the metzuda, they went on their way. And some of Forshim say, Ve'ilach Shaul al-Beisei went back to his house like a common man. As he knew, he now acknowledged, that's it, David is going to be the one to be the king. Chazal learned out, he had a message that Shmuel had told him after the incident with Amalek. Shmuel ripped the corner of his garment. And Shmuel said, the one who ripped the corner of your garment will be the one to be the next king. When David ripped the corner of the garment, Shaul knew, he'll be the one to be king. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.